بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're taking a look at ayat 16 through 19, inshallah ta'ala, in which Allah ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم نهلك الأولين. Allah ta'ala is asking the question, did we not destroy the former people? So this is opening a new section where Allah ta'ala is giving a new style of evidence, which we're going to talk about exactly what that is. The sentence itself, ألم نهلك الأولين, is, you could say, a rhetorical question, al-istifham al-inkari, meaning, yes, of course, you know very well that we destroyed the former nations. This is something that is well known to everybody, that there were former nations, that they disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, and they were naturally destroyed. And this is a reference to who? The people of Nuh alayhi salam, Ad, Thamud, Fir'aun, and so on and so forth, up until the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people that were prior to that time. Qatada would read it as Nahlik al-Awwaleen. It's the same meaning, because halaka can be muta'addi or lazim. It could be referring to the self, to be destroyed, or to destroy others. So both are valid. Maududi has an interesting comment about this. He says, this is an argument from history for the hereafter. In other words, it means, consider your own history in the world. Whichever nations denied the hereafter and took this worldly life to be real and based their moral attitude on the results appearing here, regarding them as the criterion of good and evil, ultimately went to their doom without exception. So this is, subhanAllah, making a very powerful statement, a very important statement, and explain to us that when you think that the only thing that matters is this dunya, then obviously you're going to formulate your concept of right and wrong, good and bad, your morality, your ethics, whatever you want to call it. You're going to build it around what is good for you in this dunya versus what is bad for you in this dunya, and that's it. That's the only consideration. And Allah Ta'ala is reminding them that no, there's something else to keep in mind, that when you transgress Allah Ta'ala's limits, then it could be the case that your dunya will be cut short. And that's exactly what happened to all these various nations. They're thinking long term. Well, if we just oppress these people, it'll benefit us for the next, I don't know, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever they're thinking. As long as we just, you know, cheat like this, or we steal like that, or we do shirk like this, because it keeps the people together. You know, it keeps, I don't know, let's say national pride or our culture together, whatever the case is. They're making calculations thinking what? That this is going to benefit us, and then Allah Ta'ala cuts them short and says, yeah, but you were violating my law. And as a result, is that better? Can we just do it after? Is that okay? Jazakallah khair. And so as a result, if we can... Jazakallah khair. Maybe we can just do that later on. I could speak loud enough, I think. Hopefully people can hear me, inshallah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, next ayah, ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمُ الْآخِرِينَ. Then we will follow them with the later ones. Another reading of this is, ثُمَّ سَنُتْبِعُهُمُ الْآخِرِينَ. This is Ibn Mas'ud. He would read it with the sa, with a letter seen here, implying future. But the thing is, نُتْبِعُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ can imply future in the mudari', in the mudari' tense. It can imply present or future, so that's included anyhow. And furthermore, another reading is نُتْبِعُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ. نُتْبِعُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ. Excuse me, نُتْبِعُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ with a jazm, يعني it has a sukoon over the ayn. Ibn Abbas and Abu Amr said that this is a continuation from the last verse, and therefore the jazm carries over. That's why it's written that way. However, it seems that the strongest opinion, the most the mutawatir narration is what ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ. This is a reference to what? This is a reference to the Meccans. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that look at all these past nations of Ad and Thamud and the people of Fir'aun, people of Fir'aun and the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. All of them were destroyed, and then we're going to follow up with the later generations, yani you people right here and now, you people of Quraysh. And the punishment came in what way? What way were the people, what miraculous way were the people of Quraysh punished? Anybody want to raise their hand and throw out a suggestion? Miraculous way that they were killed, destroyed. Anybody know? The question, again, was, okay, so all these past nations were destroyed miraculously, right? Like with Nuh alayhi salam, there was flooding. With Ad, it was wind. With Thamud, it was a sayha, right? A loud shout. And so on and so forth. We can keep going. My point is that then we have the people of Quraysh. Some of them, many of them were killed in a miraculous way, because Allah Ta'ala is promising them that just as what happened to them, Just as Allah Ta'ala mentions that, you know, what happened to them is alam nuhlik al-awwalin, didn't we destroy the former nations? Thumma nutbi'hum al-akhirin, then the later generations, you people of Quraysh, you're going to get the same miraculous, it doesn't have to be the exact same punishment, as in it doesn't have to be literally the winds or the flooding of the water, or, you know, the water opening up and then Fir'aun going inside and drowning, but there was something miraculous that killed many of the Quraysh, and that was what? There you go, jazakallah khair, mashallah, tabarakallah, takbir. Angels on what day? Yawm al-Badr. There we go. Now we're rolling. Alhamdulillah. Yes, on Yawm al-Badr, there was a miraculous destruction. Obviously, 313 or 317 against 1,000. The odds are almost impossible. And yet, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala sends miraculous angels to help punish these disbelievers. And the fact that Allah says, akhirin, this is a jama' Mudhakir Salim, this is the masculine plural, I guess you could say. It indicates that it's referring to people. If it was referring to, and then later we sent other punishments, if it was a reference to the punishments, then it would be ثُمَّ نُتْبِعْهُمُ الْأُخْرَى. It would be a جَمَعْ غَيْرَ عَقِلٍ. It would be the singular feminine. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala is talking about people, that we punished the former people, and then we are going to punish the later. And every subsequent nation that follows down that path is also going to get that same treatment. Why? Because Allah says in the very next verse, كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is the way it's going to always be. This is the way it's going to be persistently. That every time you get out of line, every time you go too far across certain lines, when a nation gets too bad, then Allah Ta'ala is going to destroy them despite the fact that they think, who can touch us? We're impeccable. We are untouchable. We are the most powerful. We have the nukes, you know, or whatever else you want to say. Look at our economy. Nobody can touch our armies. And subhanAllah, how much is this perfect for nowadays? How fitting is it for us nowadays who sit comfortably thinking that nothing can ever touch us, when in reality, obviously, civil war, I'm even just looking from a dunyawi perspective, civil war, economic crashes, different countries and nations teaming up against us. SubhanAllah, there are so many things that could put us in hot water, and that's just from a dunyawi perspective. Think about when it comes to Allah Ta'ala sending us things that we could not expect. We have no idea what could come to us as a nation. And so we have to pray to Allah Ta'ala that Allah forgives us and that we try our best to change the course. And the important part here is not to just say, you know, brother, I would like to give da'wah and tell people, you know, that what we're doing are overseas and what we're funding is wrong. But, you know, I'm so shy. Okay, be shy. And then see what happens. You won't be shy when bad things happen to yourself, to your home, and to your family. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect us all. So I'm not trying to threaten anybody, but I am trying to say, you know, only Allah knows the future. But this idea of, I wanted to say something at work, but I was shy. Or I was going to, but then I forgot. This type of, you know, mamby-pamby, lackadaisical, you know, just sort of soft, wet noodle sort of approach is not really sufficient. This tepid attitude. I think when as they say, something hits the fan, subhanAllah, without using bad language. But when bad things take place, you know, we're going to have a much different attitude. We are going to wake up and realize that, subhanAllah, you know, this is not something that we should have just been passively discussing. You know, we should have been like, no, fear God. God can punish us. We are doing something evil. We are killing people that are innocent. Everybody knows this. The world agrees about this. The world court is saying, stop, stop, this is wrong. I mean, the whole planet is screaming at us to stop, and we're not stopping. Maybe God is going to punish us. You know, there are supposed to be Christians who actually believe this, subhanAllah. Maybe they would listen. I actually spoke with a group of them today. And, you know, we should learn from our history. Not just the Quran. The Bible is replete with these stories. We can communicate in a language that they can understand. These books are full of stories learning from history. So yes, this is not using anything difficult. So yes, Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you put these two together and look at it as one sentence, didn't we destroy the former nations and then didn't we make later generations follow them? In other words, haven't you seen that misbehavior is consistently followed by negative results? Simply put, it's the same thing over and over again. There's a term for this. It's called inductive reasoning. When you start with a specific observation or fact and infer a general rule or conclusion from that, that's called inductive reasoning. For example, if you notice that every time you eat spicy food, you get a stomach ache, you might use inductive reasoning to conclude that spicy food causes stomach aches. And when you remove objective goodness and leave people in darkness, evil will continue to spread, and this is something that has been proven in the past and will logically continue because there's nothing keeping society together. the parameters that keep humanity decent. You know, the idea that you own something. No, the moment I take it from you, law of the jungle. Now it's in my hands, so it's mine. No, I own that. What is this concept of a right? That just because this is in my hands, therefore it's mine. Because I purchased it, I have a right to it. A right is not a physical thing. It's something that you believe in because you believe that God is the one who upholds rights. And same thing with, you know, I have a right to live. No, you don't. Bang, you're dead. You know, no, he had a right to live. Where? Show me this right. Is it a physical thing? Does it have color, texture? Where is it? Is it hiding under a rock? Is it behind the tree? Where is this thing called a right? Is it just your imagination? Like, you know, I don't know, leprechauns and, you know, fairies and stuff? Is it just a figment of your, is it just make-believe? Or is it real? The believer says it's real. Rights are real because God is real and God will punish those who violate God-given rights. So this has to be something that is emphasized thoroughly. And this is something that Allah Ta'ala mentions in various places. Allah Ta'ala says, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلُهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And we wanted to confer a favor upon those who were oppressed in the land and make them leaders and make them inheritors. The idea of you get rid of the evil and then new generations come. It's a similar concept in this ayah also. كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. Allah says, thus, and we cause to inherit another people. So there are various ayat where Allah says, we get rid of the old and we bring new people to come. Then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Thus do we deal with the criminals. This is a consistent pattern that you will see. This is inductive reasoning. You can see it over and over again. Allah's sunnah doesn't change. We should be wary of radical different trends that assume people are malleable and can change drastically. Like this whole new thing about like what does it mean to be a male or a female? SubhanAllah, for all of human history, not even just humans, animals, bugs, everybody, we understood what is male versus female. SubhanAllah, everything this was never questioned. And now, oh no, we can change it all and it's all malleable. SubhanAllah. We should realize that when we assume that people are malleable and can change drastically, despite the fact that Allah has designed us with patterns and habits, and when we try to break His divine law, we're going to pay for it every time. We're going to pay for it every time. The disbelievers of Quraysh, specifically their leadership, were punished, but the difference was, past nations were divinely punished by Allah Ta'ala, and the Quraysh leaders were punished by the hands of the Muslims themselves, who were being miraculously helped by the angels on the day of Badr. So this is Allah Ta'ala giving the believers more of a role in this miraculous act. That yes, you can fight with your own hands, and the angels will participate. So this is, you could say, a sharaf, or a karam, or a honor, or a dignification for the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ibn Ashur, he talks about two different ways of looking at these three ayat. It could be that Allah is saying, as we're mentioning, didn't we destroy the former nations through miraculous punishments, and then we followed later people, as in the Quraysh, who will also be miraculously punished on Badr. Those are the later people. Thus do we deal with the criminals, as in criminals will always be destroyed in this way. But another way of looking at it is, didn't we destroy the former people, as in through natural causes? Weren't there people of past nations, and they all just died? I mean, look at past nations, where are they? Great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, they're all gone. And then we'll follow them with later people, as in, don't you see that, you know, their descendants have been passed on through birth and so forth? And Allah Ta'ala is basically pointing to this life cycle and then saying what? Thus do we deal with the criminals, i.e., this birth and death cycle is inescapable because everybody is first tested with life and then going to be judged after death. And so, therefore, even the criminals, even those who think, no, I'm going to somehow escape this cycle. Somehow I'm going to be the exception to this cycle. No, you are just part of the same cycle as everybody else. كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Even if you're a criminal and you think, I did a bunch of evil things, but don't worry, I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to get away. Wrong. You're not. You were born, you're going to die, and you're going to be part of that cycle like everybody else. So it could be a reference to the miraculous destructions, but it could just be the life cycle of birth and death that nobody can escape from. And of course, after death is judgment. And then finally Allah says, and this is the last ayah I'll end with, is what? وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to the deniers. So in the previous section, when Allah Ta'ala mentioned at the end of it, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So because this is mentioned 10 times, and each time it's referencing a different type of takdhib, a different type of denial. So the first one was mentioning what? يوم الفصل. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمَ الْفَصْل. Right, the day when, you know, نُجُومُ طُمِسَتْ, right, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ, the day that the stars will be obliterated and the sky will be ripped open and the mountains will be destroyed. This is talking about the destruction of Judgment Day, when everything is falling apart, and then at the end of it, Allah Ta'ala said what? وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So clearly the emphasis or the meaning here is what? Woe to those who deny that this whole world is going to come falling apart. that judgment day will be established and you will see this whole reality come apart. So woe to those people who deny it. But then somebody might say, okay, fine. Well, I don't know how life is going to end. I don't know when this planet is going to fall apart. But you know what? I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. So Allah Ta'ala is responding here and saying, don't you see that when people have this attitude of, well, I'll just enjoy it as long as I can, Allah Ta'ala cuts them and takes them early. Allah Ta'ala says, oh, don't worry, I still have several years. I still can enjoy my time. No. Fir'aun probably thought, as I just have to get rid of Bani Israel and then I can still reign for many, many years. Wrong. Drowned. Right? Oh, we just gotta get rid of, I don't know, Shu'aib or Salih or Hud, alayhim as-salatu wasalam. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with them. We just gotta get rid of this pesky little person, and then inshallah we'll have, or you know, God, not God willing, and then hopefully we'll be fine for many, many years and generations. Wrong. Allah Ta'ala snatched them way earlier than they thought. So this is exactly what Allah Ta'ala is addressing. Waylun yawma idhil mukadhibin. Woe to those who deny the destruction of the world, maybe later on, but even woe to those who deny the fact that he can take you and snatch you according to your crimes here and now. And such a person obviously will have lost in this dunya and also lost in the akhirah, as Allah says, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. He has lost in this world and the hereafter. That is the manifest, that is the clear, obvious loss. And this is unfortunately something that human beings suffer from. It's called optimism bias, or can also be called the illusion of invulnerability, which is simply the belief that bad things happen, but that's to them, not to me, right? Everybody thinks, yes, of course, bad things take place. People, I don't know, get into accidents, but I'll be fine. I'll drive and I'll be okay. You know, people get cancer, but not me. You know, people die from accidents, but not me. You know, the bad things happen, but not me. And so nations have this as well. Yes, I read that, you know, this nation got wasteful and started indulging and started becoming very arrogant and oppressive, and they were destroyed soon after. Yes, I see how this, empire fell, and that empire fell, and history keeps proving the same cycle, but not us. I mean, we're invincible. I mean, that's for them, not for us. So this is a clear ignorance. And there's a very beautiful quote, and I'll finish with just a few quotes, which is, there's a quote that says, a people without knowledge of their history is like a mind without a memory. I'll probably be mentioning that quote a few more times because I like it so much. Maybe you'll hear me mention it in a khutbah someday. I like it so much. Think about it. A people without knowledge of their history is like a mind without a memory. Or another version you could say from a Muslim perspective, an ummah ignorant of their history is like a person without a memory. If you don't know the history of your ummah or the history of various ummah, then you're like a person without a memory. Can you imagine not having your memory? Not being able to learn and remember things? Obviously, you'd go completely insane. You would not be able to handle it. The memory is a huge gift that we constantly take advantage of and constantly, take for granted. And so let's also take a look at history. Why? For many reasons, but one of them simply being that the Qur'an is full of history. If that is not clear enough evidence that history is important to study, then I don't know what is. The fact that Allah Ta'ala tells us story after story and says, learn from these lessons of the past. This is clear indication. Allah Ta'ala says it plainly. In many ayats, one being, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. We relate to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best of stories in what we have revealed to you of this Qur'an, although you were before it among the unaware. Allah Ta'ala is saying, I'm going to send you divine, miraculous words, and in it, it's just going to be history. What is the huge lesson here? Learn your history. All these ayat are saying what? أَلَمْ نُهْلِكِ الْأَوَّلِينَ ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمْ آخِرِينَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to those who deny history. Woe to those who will not study what happened before. Those who ignore the past are doomed to repeat it. Those who ignore the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat those mistakes. So woe to those who do not learn from history and do not see the patterns. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who appreciate this Quran and appreciates its emphasis on history. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who love history, love to learn, and love to remind people of what danger we're in by making the same mistakes over and over again. May Allah forgive us. May Allah give us strength. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Comments, questions, thoughts?